Label's gone already, remember?
we don't even know. It could be ravioli, it could be peaches. We don't know. No. The label is gone.
Or fancy cut crinkled beets.
Or fancy feast. And nobody wants to put that in the plate. Seriously, we don't know what's in the can anymore.
We don't.
Hey, this is Jerome.
I'm Ginger.
And this is North Platte in a Nutshell. We are joined by Alan Erickson, who is going to talk to us today about Iron Eagle. We talked about that last night when we did our weekend What's Going On podcast, that we were going to be speaking with him about some of the issues regarding the golf course. So first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
You're welcome.
So I guess right away, just to kind of get an overview, there are some citizens in our city that are concerned about the golf course, and you are one of those citizens.
I represent a group of concerned citizens about the red ink of operating Iron Eagle Golf Course. So I'm speaking for a group of people besides the citizens, and I'm speaking for the taxpayers, for them to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know that citizens, concerned about Iron Eagle's Red Ink is the group. And I know there's been a lot of research and looking into it being done as far as, you know, all the money being spent and those kinds of things. So
we're trying to get the facts out.
Right. So I guess the first question that I have and maybe a lot of other people have is, what makes you so passionate about this issue?
Well, number one, I don't believe, and our group doesn't believe, that the public sector should compete with private business. And that's what's going on here, is we have a taxpayer-subsidized business competing with taxpaying entities. And it has to be addressed, it has to be reviewed, and fixed. So we're throwing taxpayer money away that's unnecessarily. That is the main reason that I'm involved in it. That and trying to help the taxpayers get a better usage of their dollars that are being invested and used by the city.
Right.
So, a little bit, just kind of a follow-up question to this. Some of the back history of the golf course, there's kind of maybe some confusion as to how that even started. It was on the ballot, and the community actually decided to actually go forward with it. Is that correct?
Well, what started it? They had to have a bond issue in order to fund the operation. They had a gift of land from the Chase family, where the course is now, and sometimes free is too expensive, but in this case it has been. And it was advertised to the public at that time that they needed to go through the city to get the bonding, but the taxpayers would not be having any taxpayer money used, and that's why they voted for allowing the city to fund the bonds. So it was a municipal bond and not the responsibility of the taxpayers to repay. And that lasted about 4 or 5 years, and the people that developed it figured out that, oh, gee, this isn't working so good, because they were losing money, I assume. Mm-hmm. And they convinced the city leaders at that time to change it from a revenue bond to a bond that is the city is responsible for. And they got a little bit lower rate, I think, or some arrangement. But then the city then became responsible for the operation and the bond.
Okay. So you mentioned the Chase family, and this always seems to be a large amount of debate because there's no really definitive answer on this. So because some say that if the city or the citizens decide that we no longer want the golf course and we would like it shut down, that land potentially goes back to the Chases. Do we know that for sure, or do we know how that is going to potentially work? Let's say in dreamland or in looking into the future that it does close.
Well, the title does not show, according to what I've heard, the title does not show an implication that is of that piece of paperwork that was put on the side. So it's not recorded on the deeded title, but it is out there. It definitely is out there. And there's debate on whether it's accurate or legal or whatever. But and the city has done some research. I don't think they've done a very great job of trying to figure it out with the Chases. But it doesn't really matter because if you're bleeding like we're bleeding, who cares if they take it back?
Right.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's the reason that our group put together an appraisal on what the value of the land is and the buildings. And it's a remarkably low number, around $510,000. And the land is even less of that than the building value. The building value is worth more than the land. Because most of the land that was donated is in accretion. So you can't build anything on it.
So for those who don't know what accretion is, can you explain that a little bit?
Accretion land is near the river that has a prone, is prone to flooding or water in a flood situation will flood first.
So is that typically what we would call flood zone?
Flood zone. It's okay. In the flood zone, yes. And so you can't build buildings on it. You can park things on it if you want to, but you can't build a substantial building on it. And that's primarily the majority of what was donated to the operation of the golf course. So it works okay for a golf course. But since the golf course has made zero money in 20-plus years for anybody, including the original investors or the city, the value of the golf course as an operation has a very limited, if not negative, value. So you have to figure out a different, I mean, it has value for something, but it's not a golf course.
So other than taxpayers benefiting, obviously, by not being able, you know, not having tax money sent into the golf course anymore, if the golf course is in fact shut down, who would stand to benefit from that other than taxpayers? Because I know there's a lot of development going on in that area. I know there's a lot of businesses eyeing that and, you know, those kinds of things. Would anybody even be able to use that land as a benefit to, you know, to buy it and put something on it, any part of that land?
Well, there's a little piece of it that's, I think, I have to look at the appraisal, but it's around 20-some acres that is usable. Unfortunately, it's going to be a long time before it's usable because there's all kinds of stuff in front of it that will go first. Mm-hmm. So it's not a foot frontage spot on the access road. You have to build another road to get to that for that land.
Right.
So it's not going to move for a long time. You could use the, you know, some other usage that's not as a park or something like that. A park may not be the answer, but a bike trail or something. There's something that could be used for. But and if somebody wanted to try it as a golf course, fine, they can have it. Or they can
right.
buy it, or they can do something, as long as they pay taxes on it. So it's a fair competition to the public. It's not public, a private tax-paying organizations. Then it's just a commercial venture and a fair fight.
Right.
Winners and losers.
Right. As life should be.
and all the people that are losing now that are tax-paying golf courses don't have a sugar daddy called North Platte
right.
to pay all the bills. They have to pay the bills and cut costs and do things smart. It's kind of ironic that the public golf course costs around 40% more to operate than the private courses that are competing against them.
Why do you think that is?
They don't manage the money. They don't. Well, there's lots of reasons. There's two things in business that you have to look at when you're looking at a small business. You have revenue and expenses, and then it's either a positive or negative number. So if you never increase the revenue like this course does, and you never evaluate the expenses very much, that's why you got a negative number. So they've never raised the dues that I know of, or very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, okay, speaking of dues, because this question has come up a few times and it's starting to come to light that maybe there's some weird things going on. Maybe not. that we have two city councilmen that actually sit on the golf course advisory board.
That should be an advantage. Unfortunately, the two that are sitting on there are very pro the golf course.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the fox watching the chicken house.
Mm-hmm.
So we've noticed that every time they vote in favor of the golf course.
Yeah, they're in favor of it. That's fine. That's a democratic way.
Mm-hmm.
But they ought to have, I'm not sure exactly, I think all the pricing and all the stuff is controlled by the golf committee, which ironically is the two council people and mostly golf members, I believe.
Right.
So that's kind of an ironic situation in itself. But it doesn't necessarily, it's not a problem that there's two council people on there. There was only one until they appointed another proponent of the golf course to the council. The mayor did that, and it's not unusual in organizations I've been in to have that. But to have two of them that are watching the chicken house, waiting for chickens to come out. But they're actually losing the money. It should be a good information source for the council if it was done properly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So with that, with the land there, I know you just mentioned a bike trail. Or possibly a park or something.
And there's lots of ideas.
Yeah.
But it can't be used for building.
Right. So if, let's say the city decides we're not going to put a golf course on it anymore. They decide to shut it down. What would you like to see in its place?
I don't really know. I let a committee decide. People that look at the expenses, look at what it's going to cost to maintain it, mm-hmm. who's going to maintain it, how are we going to do it. We've got parks already that need maintenance and are being
horribly needed.
Not taken care of because
right.
there's no money. So all
right.
I want to do is stop the bleeding and get that money to someplace else to use for the many, many things that are needed that benefit more a bigger population base of the taxpayers.
Right. Well, I mean, even today, just as an example, I took my kids to a playground, to a couple of them, actually.
Did you go to the hospital afterward?
No, not yet. I didn't get to the bad ones. I know where the bad ones are. But just to kind of see it for myself, because I always say, you know, I see damaged equipment, but there are certain playgrounds I don't go to as often. So I went to those. And one of them, Dorothy Criz Memorial Park, it's just tucked away right off Buffalo Bill.
Mm-hmm.
There is a slide there, and I have a picture on my phone even. It's the tunnel tornado slide that it is coming off of the structure in bad need of
it's not if a problem's going to happen.
It's when. It's absolutely, it's when. My kids, I kept them away from that slide. My kids aren't, I mean, they're 3 and 4 that were playing on the equipment, so they're maybe not heavy enough to break that. But an older kid goes down there not paying attention. I mean, that's only going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
I echo the sentiments. I would rather see the money getting thrown away at the golf course, get thrown at something that
yeah.
would be useful.
Well, what I hear from that department, and I ask those same questions because it's just kind of what's going on, mm-hmm. what the local knowledge is, all of the stuff is older. And as you know, with many things, you can't get parts for them.
Right.
Now, this is a different issue. It's probably just not noticed or by somebody. So I would recommend you turn that into the department and tell them it's an issue and see if they take – I mean, they're good people. They
mm-hmm.
they might take care of it. But they're overwhelmed at times
yeah.
because they run out of money.
Right.
And but that doesn't mean that they're not taking care of stuff. They're doing the best they can. But the problem I heard is you cannot get parts for some of this stuff. It's old enough, like we have with computers and everything else. People quit making parts because there's not enough money in it to make it worthwhile. They want to sell you a new one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was one of the budget meetings I was at. They were talking about it. A new state-of-the-art slide is $150,000. Can you imagine?
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
For a slide.
Now, I'm sure that was the Taj Mahal of all of them.
Oh, yeah,
but,
I'm sure.
I mean, there's probably cheaper ones, but that's a real problem. I mean, but if you don't start doing stuff periodically to upgrade, then you get behind like we are. We're behind on a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then you can't always blame it all on the golf course, but it really is, why aren't you fixing this problem? And what other problems are there to fix that we're not dealing with because you're so entranced with this money loser?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're bleeding, you stop bleeding. As fast as possible, you stop bleeding. Well, it's been 20 years. How long you got to bleed? How
exactly.
much blood you got left? We're about out.
Right.
So, yeah you got to stop it.
Well, that was one of the, and it infuriated me. Almost irrationally to read this. I was reading an article in the North Platte Telegraph recently about this issue. And they were talking about, I think, in a poll taken by council members as they left, it was split down the middle 50-50 of what to do. So the reporter, knowing that the mayor is the deciding vote when the council is split, asked the mayor, what would you do on the issue? And the mayor said, well, if it was up to me, I'd probably vote yes to give it a year or two to see if it can stand on its own feet. Well, it's been 25. You know, you need another year or two? I'm with you. I don't get the logic of the thinking.
There's no logic.
Eventually, this magic golf influx is going to happen, and all of a sudden, we're profitable.
It's kind of like the miracle's coming, just a matter of when.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
But there is no miracle. I've had experience in the golf business, and you can't not look at raising revenue, cutting expenses, and hope for a better answer. So they do neither. And they will not get a better answer because it's impossible. It's very, very difficult. The Lake Golf Course, for example, used to be had the most members, but golf is shrinking. I mean, the whole golf community is shrinking. So we got a smaller pie, and we got more golf than we need fighting over the same pie.
Right.
So what's going to happen? The one that's funded by the public will survive, if that's what you want. And the other ones will die.
Right.
Because they don't have somebody paying the bills for them. They got to pay them themselves.
Exactly.
Or the courses will go to pot or whatever. It's ridiculous this hasn't been handled by now. And it's beyond that. It's kind of crazy because it's affecting our whole city. This is just one issue. It's affecting our whole city. It could affect our bonding ability. It could affect, they stole money out of the general fund because they thought it was normal, to the tune of $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been a negative balance sheet item for many, many years, a growing deal, all the time that they were paying down the debt, and they were so happy because they're going to make money after the debt's paid off. Guess what? All that whole time, they were spending $200,000+ a year in lost revenues that they took out of the right pocket and put in the left pocket. So our general fund diminished to almost zero,
mm-hmm.
which has a different set of effects. So one thing begets another. So by not dealing with the obvious problem of either fixing it or killing it, it's creating other issues for our community.
You say it creates other issues. Doesn't it affect our credit rating, if I remember correctly?
Well, we're not there yet.
Not there
but
yet.
But we're on the cliff. We're just looking over it right now. And they can fix that. I mean, they're fixing it by jockeying money around, and we'll look good for a while. But they haven't stopped the problem. That's the problem. We're bleeding, and all they're doing is getting more blood.
Right. So we obviously see how they have so wisely, I say that very sarcastically, for those on podcast listening to it, very sarcastically. They've spent it so wisely. Do we trust them to spend it if we could shut the golf course down wisely in other areas?
Well, if you want to listen to the public, which they're not, they had a half-cent road tax to help fix roads. It unanimously failed.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that is? Because the public's happy with the city? No. It's a clear message that if they don't change the way they do things and fix things like the golf course, they're not going to be in favor of spending more money because they don't trust how they're going to. It's made a non-trust situation from the public, I think, to the city that they're not managing our money correctly.
Right. Where would you like to see the money go? If
I don't care, somewhere that's productive.
Yeah.
The golf course is not productive. We don't need that golf course. We can take those members to any golf course they want. I've even got it arranged. I haven't announced this yet. This is a new announcement.
Okay.
Where they'll be able to get the same dues for a period of time, but if they close the golf course. So I'm waiting for them to make a decision.
Right.
But I've prearranged it and talked to the other golf courses. Unless they beat them down so far by charging such little money that they can't even get members because they're competing on a price basis, we can get that done. We can get that done in the near future, but if they wait five more years, I don't think we can get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there won't be enough golf courses left.
Well, and I think it's telling that the city wants to make this an affordable outlet for golf, but
it's already affordable,
right? But I'm saying other golf courses here, other four in town or nearby, don't have the same problem, and they have members, whereas the city golf course does have members, but they still can't seem to make enough to justify being open, in my opinion, anyway.
Well, we talked about a lot of that why already.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Why would you? If you got somebody handing you $300,000 or $400,000 a year to support you, what's the incentive to do it?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because it's not going to. If you make a mistake and don't do an expense thing the wrong way, what's mm-hmm. the incentive to do it? Change it, because you're going to get paid either way.
Right.
Doesn't really matter.
Now, there's other things in town, and I've heard this. Maybe you've heard this argument. I know Ginger has. Whenever the golf course comes up and people talk about the bleeding and the money being thrown away, there always seems to be a counter argument of, well, the rec center never makes any money. The playgrounds don't make any money. We're not shutting those down. What would you say to people who say, well, these aren't money-making entities either. Why aren't we going after them?
It's a whole different concept, because those are available to a lot more people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more taxpayers that have the opportunity to benefit from those. There's not that many golfers. There are some, but not near as many as would use the rec center. There's issues there, too. I mean, there's things. That's 40-year-old equipment, too.
Yep.
That was great when I first moved to town. It was brand new, and it was wonderful. But they haven't, they've not invested money to keep it up or keep it going or decide or have a plan of what to do long term with it. They're just waiting. It's like everybody's just waiting to retire or something so they don't have to deal with it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like nobody's looking forward. It takes 5 or 10 years to develop these plans to fix stuff. Well, we haven't got to step. We're just barely getting to step one. So it's not going to be instant success.
Right.
But there's plenty of places to go with that money that we're throwing away in the golf course. $3 million that we have to deal with.
Well, that we have to shift from the...
An emergency fund.
An emergency fund,
we happen to have enough emergency funds extra that we can do that this time.
Mm-hmm.
But now, God forbid that we have the emergency, then we'll find out whether we have enough to a huge ice storm or something to fix stuff that everybody needs,
mm-hmm.
called
right.
power.
Well, I mean, if you look at things like, even what's happened, pictures of the state fair, it's underwater. Mm-hmm. Big ice storms. Like you mentioned, I lived in Kearney when that big one hit about, 10 years ago or so, knocking out power to half the city. Those kinds of things happen randomly. You can't plan for them. That's what those funds are supposed to be there for, to help
right.
rebuild if need be or
and there's always an argument against everything. There's an argument against that they over-subsidize that and yada, yada, yada. But luckily, we haven't had that situation that proves whether you're right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I hope we don't ever. But it's not hard to prove that we don't need this golf course.
Exactly.
I mean, even anybody, my kindergartner granddaughter could figure this out.
So other than... because people voice their opinions online all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it in conversations, wherever you go. What do you think is the best way for citizens, whether they're for or against on this issue, What's the best way to have their voices heard?
If it would be handled by the people who are supposed to handle it, the city council, you need to talk to your city council person and tell them your opinion. We don't do that enough. We need to do it more, because that's why you elected them. You tell them what you're thinking. They could put it on a ballot. If they can't decide, they could put it on a ballot, but the people, the mayor won't even consider it for some reason, putting it on the ballot and let the voters decide. So they do nothing. It's just like, how long are you going to do nothing? Yeah, forever, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, because if you kick this can down the road, many times?
Well, the can can't even read the can label anymore. It's dented so much.
Yeah, it's true.
20 years so far, yeah.
So something else that other people may not consider about the golf course. Obviously, it's wasting money, you know, floodplain, everything we've discussed, is the alcohol sales. They actually, like any other golf course, do sell alcohol there.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about the city being, selling alcohol, I guess?
Well, that's not what a city's for. It's to control alcohol, not sell it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the state program. So, but that's unnecessary. I don't have a problem with it because it's part of a golf course. I have a problem because they have a golf course. The alcohol is not the problem. It could be a problem of revenue, depending on what they sell it for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody knows. I don't go there very often. I'm afraid I get killed. But I know there's a lot of people that have a social gathering there. I'm sure they drink alcohol. I don't know that for sure. But I don't know what the prices are. But obviously, they're not priced properly on anything to make money to support themselves.
Right.
Because they're short $200,000 to $300,000 every year.
Right. Which I think is kind of interesting that our city council can control who, you know, like you said, control alcohol, and yet they sell alcohol. Again, seems a tad bit like a conflict
in
of interest.
In competition with they're people that pay taxes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Back to my original. I've only got 3 or 4 points, really.
Yeah.
I can divest them different ways, but it's really, I got 3 points. Stop bleeding or control the cost and fix the deal so you have either a reasonable loss that people are happy with, or just quit.
Right.
I'm definitely for just quitting.
Yeah.
Because I think there's no chance forever this to be good.
I don't think there is. Personally, I don't think there is as well. But I believe that the citizens of North Platte would like to possibly potentially keep that land but turn it into something that is publicly used on a wider basis than what a golf course is.
And that's fine. Yeah. And there's not a lot of value there, but There could be a park deal there. Something you have to develop, has to be something that you're okay with flooding and the cleanup doesn't cost you a fortune. So if they figure out something that does that, I mean, you can replace a park bench or a picnic table or something, or you can move them out because it's going to flood again.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't win.
Yeah.
Right.
And when it does, it doesn't even have to run over the banks. That's the sad part. Because of the speed of the river and the outflow coming out of the power plant there, the groundwater rises, so it doesn't flow, it just percolates up through the ground, and it's done it enough times that there's a path for it, so as soon as the pressure builds up, it's bubbling over, and that right. floods the golf course. Right. And if it really gets bad, like it has a few times, it goes over the bank too, and then you really got a mess.
Well, I think we've all been able to see like the damage it can do to the golf course when it has flooded like that. I mean, because you can drive by on Newberry and just see that the grass looks terrible and that it needs to be replaced. And there's a lot of dirt work that needs to be done, all kinds of things. So, you know, that's costing additional money. But that's obviously in the average of what we're exceeding every year.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm assuming.
We haven't done a research on what other departments that do those services, whether that billing is coming to the right department. I don't know that for sure. I don't know that it is or isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it all gets fixed. And the budgets, I don't know. But the whole problem, you know, you can talk about all the details of why is it this or that or whatever, but obviously they don't know how to fix it or improve it. They're working under the premise that the taxpayers want it and they want to support it. And if the taxpayers want to support it, that's fine. That's the American way. But let's put it to a vote. It should be going through the city council because you voted the city council people, and it's their job to represent their constituents. And if they believe that over half of their constituents want that golf course, I might take that bet. Because I think if you go to the vote of the people, it'll be overwhelmingly against maintaining that golf course.
Yeah.
And we hope we don't have to go to that length, but we're prepared to go to a canvas and put a petition together to let the public vote. And we're hopeful that the city council will come to their senses and do their job and figure this out.
So right now, we're talking about citizens and how they can help and what you guys are prepared to do. Right now, we as the citizens, what can we do to voice our opinion to either being for the golf course or against it?
Well, you got to, like I said before, you got to talk to your council people. You got to, you know, they're all accessible. They're easy to get a hold of. Tell them what you think. Do your survey with your people that can help you.
And there's a meeting on Tuesday, correct?
Yeah, this is a critical time to do something because the budget is coming up. The budget hearing is coming up. You can go to the budget hearing and talk and voice your opinion because if they don't do something, the can will be kicked down another year, down the road another year. They've already got stuff. I've got the numbers I've looked at. They've already got plans on how to pay for this year's losses and next year's losses. So they're not taking the...
They already have plans to pay for next year's losses.
Right. So what's that tell you?
That it's never... That they know it's never going to make money. It's always going to be a money waster.
Yeah, but they don't do anything about it. So the people that can do something about it are the people you elected.
Right.
Or if they won't do it, then we have to go to a petition and you can vote on a petition on a special election. And that may be what we have to do. We're prepared. We're getting prepared to do that.
Yeah.
We're just hopeful that we won't waste more money to fix something that's so obvious to be fixed. I've had people tell me that, well, all that economic development out there by the interstate is because of the golf course. and after I'm done laughing, I say, well, there's two reasons that those motels got built there. Number one is called I-80. Number two is they had the cheapest lots available next to I-80. That's the only reasons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that golf course had nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
Zero.
The amount of tourism that takes place for golf is there's
mostly
it's a
going
piece of pie.
Mostly going north.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not coming south.
It's not coming here.
No.
So I have a very hard time believing that.
Well, I did a good rebuttal of that one, and I haven't heard anything since. So. that's been 3 or 4 months ago, but it's just like, wow, really? And they've got this new development that's coming. It's not coming because people will say it's coming because the golf course is there. Maybe, or maybe because it could be a park and the park is there. Maybe, I don't know. But I'm all for development, any way, shape, or form. But I think we're losing opportunities for development because of the golf course, not because we have the golf course. Because anybody from outside looking at what we're doing and what we're not doing here is a real black mark against North Platte entirely. So if we can't fix this obvious problem, what else are we doing wrong? That's what the outside world looks at and say, why would I go there? They're all messed up. They can't even fix an obvious problem.
So why do you think the city council hasn't fixed it? Or the administration?
I don't know. I've asked and talked and begged, and I just can't get a straight answer out of them. They think there's value there. They think they've spent so much money. It's the old acronym, well, we've got so much money that now we can't stop. Well, when you run out of blood, you have to stop. And we're close to running out of blood.
Yeah.
So you should have stopped a long time ago. But you can't look back. You have to look forward.
Right.
And that's what we have to do. We have to stop. We have to fix one problem at a time. This is the first one to fix. Let's get it fixed. And then we'll start addressing other problems. We're spending so much time on this one, we don't have time to deal with other problems. There are other problems out there.
Right.
You know, this isn't the only one.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most obvious one.
Well, and as you said, this being such an obvious problem and the city not doing, you know, what the constituents or the majority of the constituents seem to want, maybe if they start doing those kinds of things, that will also start to rebuild trust from the citizenry in those that
and
we
maybe
elected.
From the, maybe from the outside world. I mean, we're on the largest north-south corridor, one of them, and we're on one of the largest east-west corridors. We're right at the crossroads.
Right.
We should be growing. Why are we not growing? There's a lot of opinions about that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them for sure is that we're not handling these obvious problems. You think the outside world doesn't notice it?
Right.
Of course they do. So they have thousands of places they can put their business. So we're off the list immediately.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a great way to put it, too. No, that's and that's, fine. That's why things like this need addressed, obviously. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I love North Platte. I've stayed here a long time, but
yeah.
I don't love not solving problems.
Right, and this is a huge problem. It has been for a long time.
And there's others.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. There are others, but I think if we start focusing on certain issues that are what some would consider an obvious fix, you know what I mean? Like this. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out what needs to happen here. With the golf course, at least in my opinion. So if we can start getting those things fixed, you're right, we can start moving on to other problems. And we would have, you know.
Other successes.
Other successes. Yes. And plus another, what, $500,000 a year they throw away? To start allocating some of that money to start fixing some of those problems.
We've made some progress, but we got to do better.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a business. A lot of people talk about the UP Railroad. Oh, what's going on? Oh, woe is us. We're going to die. Da, da, da. Railroad's not going anywhere. All they're doing is changing the way they operate because the business model is changed for them, and they don't need certain things, so people get laid off. They're changing the way they operate. Everything changes.
Right.
The world changes, and now with the Internet, and all that, it changes almost hourly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you haven't changed anything in 40 years, why would you expect great results?
Well, it goes back to the adapt or die thing. Either you adapt as a community or as a business or whatever you are, or it's going to die.
You either grow or you shrink. You don't stay the same.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're kind of staying about the same.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't grown. We haven't shrunk a lot. We've shrunk a little, but we can shrink more.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do something about it.
Yeah.
We will shrink more.
Yep.
Well, and I think, okay, we're of the age generation where we have chosen to live here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But we have a lot of friends who wanted to live here but had to leave because of job situations, better job opportunities, that North Platte has every opportunity of being able to keep those people here if we could kind of grow or adapt or take care of these issues that are maybe causing some of these businesses not to come in.
Yeah, and the council people need to listen to their constituents. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Maybe I'm misinformed, but I don't think so. I think if we put it to a vote, this one would go down. But we need to communicate with everybody and get their opinion. But we also, what we've been trying to do is give up the facts and let them, so they can make their own decision.
So we've been talking about this issue for a while now. In fact, our first podcast that we ever had, this was one of the topics that flew up on us talking about it. And some of the rebuttal that we kind of got back was, well, why can't we have both? Why can't we have the golf course and nice parks and rec centers. What do you say to that? I mean, I know my answer, but what do you say to that? Because I can talk about this.
How much tax money you want to pay?
Exactly.
Well, and people, I don't know if they all understand it. Only a segment of the budget is tax money. A majority or a larger amount is sales tax money. So, if you're not increasing the economy, you're not increasing your sales here. We've had a lot of retail loss, which has happened all over the country. It just happens we've had more than our share. And it'll come back eventually. We'll get something back. Because if there's demand and there's a chance to make money, people will show up. But you can't have everything and not pay taxes for it. So if you want more, you got to pay more taxes. That's not real popular with anybody.
Right.
But or you have to use a better usage of the money you're already getting to get the best efficiency out of it. And we're not doing that in some cases. Not all cases. Some things are operating fine. But what we haven't done, in my opinion, is look for better opportunities. We haven't followed the trend of the world. You look at things, what's wrong with it? How do I fix it? How do I make it better? How do I do it smarter, quicker, better? These are things that they're looking at, everybody looks at all the time, and the ones that survive do a good job at it. The ones that fail don't.
Right.
That's the same in all parts of the industry and everything else. So they're changing all the time. One person asked me one time, well, why did Staples leave? I said, well, when was the last time you were in there? Well, I never go in there. I ordered online. But it's from Staples. I said, well, then they should keep a brick and mortar and employee-based operation so you can order online and it comes from the warehouse somewhere else. So that makes sense for Staple How?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Times have changed.
Yeah, it's not the same time as it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And we haven't kept up. There's opportunities to bring more things to town. Sporting things. Look at all the people that take their kids all over the country, spend tons of money on motels and restaurants, and that's taxable money that goes to help the taxpayers have a lesser burden. But we haven't kept up with the state-of-the-art things in lots of departments.
Right.
And we're keeping a golf course we don't even need.
Right. Well, Alan, I know you have a meeting, and that you got to get to.
Yeah, it's hard to stop me talking about this.
Oh, no, it's fine. Same with us, too. I mean, this is an issue that obviously we agree with you on. I know not everybody who listens to us does, but you know what?
To hear why they don't like it, what they think is good.
We would, too, yeah. But nobody's come forward yet.
Yeah, well, and there may be some reasons, but I can't think of them.
Yeah.
I
can't think of one either.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Alan Erickson, thank you so much for joining us. Again, this has been North Platte in a Nutshell. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do it on our Facebook page. Email us at npnutshell@gmail.com. We have an Instagram. Search for npnutshell. And then this coming Tuesday, like we said yesterday, we'll get this up online as soon as possible so people can give it a listen. But on the 3rd, right, September 3rd.
Tuesday,
there is a budget meeting. City Council starts at 7:30. As Alan said,
be there.
Yeah, be there. Go make your voices heard, or at the very least, get a hold of your council people. Their phone numbers are on the city website. You can find them. You can call up your council person. Make
your
voice
heard.
Do we
want to post those?
What the heck?
Yeah, we'll post them on this page too.
We'll post them.
If you don't go, there's another dent in a can.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
Label's gone already. Remember?
Yeah. We don't even know. It could be ravioli. It could be peaches. We don't know.
No.
The label is gone.
Or fancy cut crinkled beets.
Or fancy feast. And nobody wants to put that in their plate. Seriously, we don't know what's in the can anymore.
We don't.
We just know that the can is bleeding money. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's been North Platte in a Nutshell. Thank you all for joining us.